verse, chapter, sorry, not verse. Make it very short. Who would like to be brave and volunteer to start?
Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to curse every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaan, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him.
These twelve Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey, or extra tunic, or sandals, or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave.
And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall receive you, and whosoever shall not receive you, or hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or that city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And you should be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles.
Yeah. But when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you are to say, for it will be given you in that hour what you are to say. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Brother will betray brother to death. And a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured till the end who will be saved. Amen. But whenever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next, for truly I say to you, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master.
It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of this household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak you in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach you upon the housetops.
And do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Therefore do not fear, you are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever shall deny me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven.
Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against the father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward.
Amen. Thank you very much, everybody. That chapter, there's a lot in there, a lot of different things, but tonight I just thought it was a very encouraging chapter, one that proclaims that what the kingdom is all about, and it's about people being delivered and saved and healed. That's the kingdom business, and that's what we're here for.
I'm busting. Not being. Not well chosen, mother. I am. I've been that way since Thursday.
Joy of the Lord is our
strength. You can do it, Bill. We've got great confidence in your abilities. We had a telephone call from one of the reps from Brian Cousins in the south of England last night, and he was sharing with Andrew how I don't know if it was whereabouts this happened, but I believe it was in the south of England at a local barber's, and the barber is a Christian, and he's no big deal. He's not a highly intelligent man. He just believes what he reads. And a gentleman came into the shop to have his hair cut, and when he'd finished cutting his hair, this gentleman stood up and immediately fell on the floor. And he rang for the paramedics, and the paramedics came and pronounced him dead. And I don't know if he paid or not, Philip. But this man was not put off by that at all. He just simply prayed for him and commanded death to leave him, and for him to be raised to life in the name of Jesus, and he was raised to life. Amen. And he walked out free. He maybe gave him a free haircut.
This is what tonight is about. It's encouraging everybody. You know, when Philip said about Mark tonight getting that job, that when we prayed for him Sunday, and then to hear that he's got this job, despite what's gone on, the prayers of the people on Sunday, it broke something. It's the fact that Andrew tonight rang us, and Andrew rang us tonight, and it was just so encouraging, you know, that he was saying it, how he was feeling better, he'd managed to have some soup. And it's just this, keep at it, everybody. Keep standing in the gap. And that's going to give you a clue as to what I want to talk about tonight. It's the prayer of intercession.
Oh, amen.
You know, I'm getting up in the morning, and sometimes you get up in the morning and you think, God, I don't know what to say. Are my words being effective? I seem to be saying the same words, the same scripture. Is it doing anything?
Well, yes, it is, because it's God's word, and God's word is always new every morning. It says that somewhere. I've not found it yet, but it says it in Scripture. And when you speak God's word, it's fresh to God. But it's this spiritual battle. That's what we've got to remind ourselves. Whatever we feel, whatever we see, we've got to get above it. We've got to stop seeking all the time for the manifestations. Jesus himself, if you read the Gospels, the amount of times he turned round to people, even to his own disciples, and said, "O ye of little faith, when will you believe?" You know, he even told them, because they wanted to always see. When he fed the 5,000, then they followed him, and he went over to the other side. He said, "You're following me not because you're after the God in me. You're after because you saw the miracle with the food." The body of Christ, the prayer of intercession, to pray on behalf of others. That's what the body of Christ is called to do. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, please. And this scripture is an encouraging scripture. So when you feel that you're getting that niddling little doubt, or you're feeling weary, and I think it's when you're tired, when you're weary, that's when the enemy has the negative thoughts really start to come, and you just need to get the word in front of you. Speak it out loud to yourself, and also it'll remind the enemy who's trying to bring you down. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So, intercession, I find it a very interesting word. It comes from the word to intercede. And if you look it up in a dictionary, when you intercede means to plead for another, to stand in the gap, to mediate. We hear a lot of mediation when there was trouble with people wanting pay rises with Unison. I always think of that. There's always a mediation that goes off between maybe sometimes like council workers and the Unison members. Somebody comes in from outside to get the two parties together and to solve the dispute. When we're praying, we're mediating, we're acting as a go-between for the person we're praying for something from God. That to me was a lovely picture. Praying for a person who's requiring something from God. We're intervening on another person's behalf. We're reconciling a person with God to receive a need met, like salvation. We're reconciling somebody who's unsaved with God to receive their salvation of their soul, but also the other benefits that come with it, healing in some instances, deliverance, whatever. Prayer is the doorway, somebody has said, into the mightiest release of power that is known to man. Prayer is the doorway into the mightiest release of power that is known to man. Why is it? Because it brings the presence of God to and upon a man in any part of the world. We've got computers today that can do things so quickly. You can send an email to somebody in another part of the world. You can talk to another person and have that via webcam or whatever to another person in the world. But there's nobody that can do it quicker than God, and prayer is still faster and still mightier. So let's look at intercession. Let's look at when we're mediating. Isaiah 59, verses 16, 17. This scripture came to me, I think it was on the last DVD that we were watching from Andrew's laptop when he was speaking to us that Wednesday. And I kept saying to Joan, there's a scripture that keeps going over and over in my mind. And she actually found it for me, bless her. Isaiah 59, verses 16 to 17. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled. There was no one to intervene. So his own arm worked salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as his breastplate, and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance, and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. What is this arm referred to in verse 16? Well, it's Jesus. The sole purpose Jesus came to the earth was to be that intercessor. Verse 17, Jesus wore righteousness, right standing with God, as the breastplate and a helmet of salvation. And this is why when we do prayers on Sunday specifically, you'll hear me quoting Ephesians 6 verses 10 to 17. So if you want to flip over to Ephesians, as I was putting this together tonight, something hit me that I'd not seen before. A simple thing. It's usually the same thing, isn't it? You read something or you do something, and sometimes all of a sudden something is dropped into your spirit and you thought, I never saw it from that perspective before. Armour of God, Ephesians 6, from verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We are to put on that same armour and enter into the same field of prayer. Now, I always understood that putting on the armour of God is very essential, and it is, because you're dealing with spiritual forces. God hasn't given you an armour just for the sake of it. There's a reason we've got that armour. And it's so that it can deflect any... you're praying for a certain person, and I just believe sometimes Satan, it sort of makes it go... deflects... tries to deflect it onto you. When you've got that armour on, when you've got the blood over you, he can't do that. He can't try it that way. But tonight, I found love reading this, and we've been talking about Jesus is the arm. We are his arm on the earth. So when you're, because we're bringing reconciliation between God and man, when we put God's armour on, basically, what are we putting on? Who are we putting on? Who are we putting on? And I've never seen it like that before. Maybe you lot have done, but for me it was like a new perspective to it all. The armour is the same that Jesus had, and the calling is the same. And it means that we have been given the right and the miraculous power to enter into prayer on behalf of others. Amen. Intercession is the highest expression of love. It's loving in the spirit, applying spiritual power for another person. It will overpower the evil influence that's got a person bound, and your prayer may be for salvation, for healing, or for any other area of deliverance from Satan. It's significant in chapter 10 when Grace read it, it said Jesus came, what it was, deliverance, infirmities, sickness, salvation, deliverance, yeah? So, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if we look at that one. Satan has blinded the minds of those who've not received the gospel. Your intercessory prayer wrestles against evil spirits that have deceived them. And even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. It is literally giving yourself, giving your time, giving your life for others. Jesus says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now that is a quote that they use a lot at remembrance services. And it's always sort of looked on the physical, but when you look at it tonight, when we look at intercessory prayer, it's laying down your time in your life for somebody's need, whether it be spiritual, physical, or whatever, mental, yeah? Because you're giving time to pray for that person, to see God manifest his love into their lives. And that's the God kind of love, unconditional love. Time is precious, especially today, with the pressures of work, with the pressures of looking after people, your relatives, the pressure of just living, actually. It's so hard sometimes. You feel that you've all these insurmountable things that you've got to do in a day, and the last thing you want to do is just take time to just pray for people, because it's not a physical activity and you're not seeing anything for the energy that you're expending at that particular moment. But yet it is the highest kind of love you can give. And so Sunday, when we pray for people, and in the week at home when you're praying for people, the only reason that we're seeing these answers is because you are giving that highest love out in your life. You're giving that time to prayer. The world doesn't know this kind of love. It didn't know it until Jesus came onto the earth, until he laid aside those divine privileges, fulfilling his earthly ministry as a man and being filled with the Holy Spirit. It was love that motivated God to send Jesus. It was love that motivated Jesus to fulfill the calling that had been put on his life. And Jesus is still giving himself today. Amen. Hebrews 7 verse 25 tells us, he ever liveth to make intercession. That's what wows me, the fact that when I go in prayer, Jesus is all in intercession for me. Yeah. That is love. Romans 5:5 tells us, we've been given the same love of God by the Holy Spirit. A love that lays down its own desires to intercede for someone else. And it's through the knowledge of God's word we realise this. And it's through this, it's through the knowledge of God's word that we have this love that urges us to reach out towards others. Because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're filled with the ability to speak in another language. The Holy Spirit gives the utterance. You do the speaking. Just as you are in your own prayer language, you have the voice of your of the mind, praying in tongues is the voice of the Spirit. And it's your speaking, Spirit, speaking mysteries unto God. That's how Paul put it, wasn't it? So when you're praying for people and you feel inadequate, or unable to put into words what they need, the Holy Spirit knows. Romans 8 verse 26 is a brilliant one. There's been mornings when I've got up and I've sat at the kitchen table and I said, God, what do I pray for Andrew? We've prayed that he gets a quicker healing. We've prayed that the appointment for the scan comes quicker. We're believing for miracles, signs, wonders. And we've seen where it's happened, but what do I pray in the morning? You know, tell me, Lord, you can see what's going off in the head in the day. What do I pray? Well, Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Praying in other tongues is the most valuable tool you have in intercessory prayer, because you're operating in the realm of the Spirit. Your physical man is the Spirit man's assistant. I love that. You're not just praying mentally limited prayers. When you pray in tongues, you pray beyond your limited knowledge. You move beyond the natural into the Spirit. But there's a condition. You've got to want to yield to it as an act of your will. You've got to want to desire to do it. And some mornings when you get up, you feel you don't want to do it. But once you start, I mean, I was finding that if I get into a psalm, that feeds my spirit man. And my spirit man then starts to take over from the flesh. And that's when I can start just praying in tongues. I hope that helps some of you. I hope it's an encouragement for some of you. And I really feel that if there's anybody in the fellowship that's not filled with the Spirit, then we need to encourage them to pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to expect to speak in other tongues, to thank God for filling them with the Holy Spirit, and enabling them to see that they've got a power, God's power behind them in their prayers. Yeah? So, I hope that's encouraged tonight. I know it's short, I know it's brief, but I just wanted to encourage you all, because we're really going into something big here. We're breaking through into something very big. Now, we didn't see John on Sunday. I'm going to switch.